And if you would all go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. You may have interacted with someone, a pastor or a, I'm going to say professing preacher a lot today, and that might sound judgmental, but that's because I want to make sure we're working with a biblical definition of what a preacher is. So you might have heard a professing preacher in the past. Maybe you've known someone like this, or maybe you've been to a ministry where this pastor or this kind of preacher is present. And I don't want to say that God can't use people like this, because when the word is preached, when the word is open, the Spirit ministers it to us. But have you ever wondered why some pastors stay at a ministry for, let's just say, 37 years or 20 years or 15 years, as opposed to pastors who stay at a church for like 3 or 4, then they go to the next ministry, then they go to the next ministry, then they find somewhere else down the road or in a different state? I know a few people like this, and they say something like this: I've got a series for that, a series for that, a series for that, a series for that. And eventually they run out of series. And so they find another church down the road where they can preach their 200 sermons, and then they're done. Then they go to a different church. How do we avoid this? Paul answers that question very confidently and straightforward in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 2, these are three of my favorite words in all the Bible: preach the word. Amen. How do you avoid running out of series? Preach the word. If you have the right starting place, you're going to end up in the right place. And you are never going to exhaust the Bible. It's not like, well, I've been alive for 70 years and I've preached for 50, and about year 45, I ran out of things to say. So I just started rehearsing things. If you preach the word, you always have something to say. And so this morning, we're going to look together as we continue our series about biblical preaching and a biblical preacher. We're going to look at this passage in 2 Timothy 4 together. And I'm going to encourage you with this idea that you should be confident that your pastor is a man of the Bible who preaches the message of the Bible. This passage deals with both, as you will see in my points, the content and the character of the man. And so we're going to work through this text together. I'm also going to give you a few practical definitions of popular professing preachers that are out there that I'm going to suggest you stay away from. Okay? So let's pray and we'll begin to work through our passage together. Our Father, we're thankful this morning that we have your word. I ask that it would be preached. It would be preached undistracted from. It would be preached clearly. That you would hide me, and that I would be invisible, and that only the message of the cross and Christ and the sufficiency and the authority of your word would be the most evident and memorable things about the time here this morning. Spirit, I ask that you would do your work in comforting, in reproving, convincing of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Be with both the speaker and the listener, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start together in verse 1. We'll read down to verse 5. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. May God add his blessing and power to the reading of his word. So we're going to start in verses 1 through 4 together and look at the charge to the preacher. The charge to the preacher. Don't write all of that down at one time. Take notes as we get to those individual elements. I put them up there so that you could see what's coming, but I know the temptation when you see a slide with a bunch of notes is to copy them all down. Just wait, we'll get to those as we go along, all right? So first of all, I want you to notice what the content of the charge is. The content of the charge is that we preach what? The word. We're not supposed to have clever things that we think people need to hear. What people need to hear is the Bible. And so the biblical preacher is going to go to the Bible and he say, I'm going to do my best to say what it says. Because I understand fundamentally what people need more than anything is the Bible. Is the word. Active, pumping through their veins and motivating them spiritually, captivating their minds and their hearts. For there alone is true stability and true security. I want to stop right just for a second and back up. We don't really have time to unpack this, and I wish we did. But if you're thinking about maybe being a preacher, maybe you feel that God's called you to preach, or certainly for people who are preaching, if you're a Sunday school teacher or whatever, if you do any kind of teaching ministry in the church, do you notice the basis of Paul's charge here? Paul deals with some pretty serious things. I charge you on the basis of what? In the presence of God. God hears this. And of Christ Jesus. The charge is based on Jesus. His authority, his life, his ministry. The charge is based in the judgment of God, who is to judge the living and the dead. If you don't think Pastor Fisher and I take this seriously, just read that verse again. I will answer to God for the answers that I give you. And by his appearing and his kingdom, there's both a now and future aspect to the ministry of the preacher. And so on the basis of these serious things in verse 1, preach the word. The message of the word, the truths of the word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Preach it so that the word makes sense, so that it's clear. Don't confuse. Point people to the scriptures. So it's here I'm going to give you four kinds of preachers to stay away from. These are popular individuals. There's some overlap in them. But I'm going to encourage you four kinds of preachers that I do not believe are preaching the word. Four kinds of professing preachers that I do not believe preach the word. The first is the cheerleader. His goal is to pump up his congregation. Make him feel good. He spends a lot of time writing jokes, wondering when's the best time to work in his stories. So he'll actually plan his message around anecdotes that pump positive feelings into us. A good day for the cheerleader is when his congregation walks out saying, "Did you hear that thing he said?" And they name the illustration, but not the thing the illustration was illustrating. They remember the joke or the story. They don't remember the biblical point, because that wasn't the point. The point was just to make us feel good. They see things like, there's nothing you can't do. You are enough. You are strong. You are sufficient. You are great. And the Bible tells us things like, there is none good, not one. God alone is strong. Only Christ is sufficient. Our strength is made perfect in weakness. A biblical preacher will cause you to realize that there will be times when your feelings are the biggest lie in your life. And so if you are tempted to hear a preacher who's just yelling at you with metaphorical pom-poms and trying to make you feel good and only focused on entertaining you, you might be getting sweetness without any nourishment. Secondly, watch out for the magician. Say, what in the world are you talking about? I always get nervous when I hear people say things like, wasn't it amazing what he got out of that? The word speaks for itself. I don't have to put clever things into it to pull out of it. I need to pull out and explain what's already in it. Preaching the Bible doesn't need anything to pull out of the hat. I only say what it says. And so if you read something in the Bible and in your spiritual understanding, and a preacher gets up and says, here's what it means, and it just sounds odd to you, and it feels like he might be getting things out of there that don't really look like they're there, he might be. If you can read the Bible and you know by what you understand from the Bible, which assumes that you need to understand the Bible, but you have confidence that your preacher is going through line by line and explaining the words and showing what it means in context and how it relates to the other passages before it and after it and the whole of the Bible, that's a man you can trust. R.W. Dale was a preacher in the mid-1800s, and he went to Yale to do a lecture series, and here's what he says about the magician. I always think of the tricks of those ingenious gentlemen who entertain the public by rubbing a coin together between their hands until it becomes a canary, and drawing out of their coat sleeves half a dozen brilliant glass globes filled with water, with four or five goldfish swimming in each of them. For myself, I like to listen to a good preacher, and I even enjoy a good conjurer, but I prefer to keep the conjuring and the preaching separate. Conjuring on a Sunday morning, conjuring in church, conjuring with texts of Scripture is not to my taste, and it should not be to yours either. And so if a preacher stands up and begins to explain a passage in such a way that maybe a little alarm bells start going off in your mind, and it seems like he might be making up things and pulling out things that aren't actually there, be careful. You want a preacher who's going to say what the Bible says. Thirdly, there's the showman. You know this preacher. He comes out and he says, how does everyone feel this morning? And on a Sunday morning, you haven't had your coffee and you're wondering, I don't feel very good right now. And so he's got all these good illustrations and great stories, and he's talking loud and he's dressed cool, you know. It's okay to be cool. It's fine. But make sure that the message of the Bible is the clearest thing and the most memorable thing about your time. These guys get up and they read a verse and then they walk away from it, and it's like they never even needed to read the verse. It's just a springboard for all their good ideas and funny, clever jokes. And once again, you walk away feeling like, I think that was a good time. And 3 hours later, you're mad about the same things you were mad about before you entered on church on Sunday morning. Because there was no time of connecting the word to what's going on in your soul. It was just, isn't this awesome? And the awesomeness of the time wasn't scripture. You want a preacher who's going to open the word in such a way that it feels and it is awesome. Because it's the message of God. It's what God says. Fourthly and finally, watch out for the tour guide. They treat the Bible, you know, a little bit like I thought of the movie National Treasure when I was doing this. You know, one clue leads to another clue, which leads to a map, which leads to goggles and glasses. These guys convince you that you can't understand the Bible without them. There's clues and mysteries. And thus says the Lord is pretty clear. And they will convince you that this clue leads to another clue, which leads to another clue, and all these mysteries of the Bible. And you couldn't do this unless you had someone like me to show you all the hidden whatever. Now, there are mysteries in the Bible. The mysteries related to Christ, the riches of grace. There are deep, complicated things in the Bible. And you should have confidence that your pastor is going to explain those things. But if a man stands up and tells you that you need them, that sounds a little bit like pre-Reformation thinking that the Bible is only for the priests and the rich and the religious and the important people help the lesser people understand. Let's make sure we agree with Luther that the Bible can be explained both to the priest and the plowboy. And so you should be confident in your pastor that when he stands up, he explains the word in such a way that it is understood, that it is clear, and that he says something like this: here's what you do with it. Are you reading this for yourself? Are you spending time in the word yourself? You need a pastor who's going to push you into the word, not push you towards himself. A preacher and the Holy Spirit are very different people. Persons, I should say. And so you should be distrusting of a pastor who convinces you that you need him. So I would encourage you to stay away from these kinds of preaching. I know there's more, and I know the temptation is to eat what they give us, and some there's more appealing than others, but gravitate towards leaders, towards pastors. Trust pastors who say, here's the word and here's what it means. And don't present the Bible in such a way that it's a springboard for their ideas, or that it's a nice guidebook for life, or that you can't really understand it without them. The charge is to preach the word. And if you do not know when the word is being ignored, that is not so much a problem with the preacher as it is the listener. Now, one leads to the other. Bad preachers will reproduce bad listeners, but you should have such a knowledge of the word as someone in the body of Christ that you can actually protect each other from bad or short-sighted teaching because you know the word so well. And so never forget that your time in the Word each day, each week, is as important as your pastor's. Don't fall into this thinking that studying the Bible is what the religious pastors do. They're the ones that do that work. You'll be spiritually hungry all your life if that's your thinking. You'll be unhappy all your life. You'll be frustrated. You'll be insecure. You'll wonder why you don't have security, because you aren't securing your life in the Scriptures. Avoid these preachers. The charge is to preach the Word. Secondly, let's look at the call together. Paul gives specific things that are to be unique to the call of preaching. Here's what you should do. Not only preach the Word, but here's how you do it. We are, as preachers of the Word, called to these things. And so first of all, you see that we are to be ready in season and out of season. That just has the idea of commitment. It has the idea that you are committed to preaching both when you are ready and when you are on time, and it's your Sunday, it's whatever, but you should be ready to preach whenever. This has the idea of taking initiative and not only preaching the bare minimum of times. You should know as a congregant that your pastor is going to make sure he's preaching here, but he's also in the lives of people ministering truth. And if a church down the road or during the week needs a help with a Bible study, that your pastor is at least willing, whether he can make it or not, he's at least willing because he's passionate. He believes that the Word should be preached. In season and out of season. Secondly, there's this idea of convincing. This word reproof has more the idea of convincing. A preacher presents the Word in such a way so that when it is listened to, it is received with confidence. I believe that. So that you as a congregant, when the Word is preached, can say, I affirm that. What he says, I believe. If someone stands up and begins to say things that you as a believer who's confessed Christ can't wholeheartedly get behind, there's a weakness in his convincing ministry from the Word. I often wonder what health and wealth, prosperity, gospel ministers do with this verse, because it says the pastor is also to be involved in the work of conviction. You see that? So that's what the Holy Spirit does. Reprove, rebuke. This word means to convict. And so if I'm a health and wealth prosperity gospel preacher, I don't want people to feel bad. I don't want to confront them with their sin, because that makes people feel bad. I watched a comedic video one time. I can give you the resource if you're interested. It's a Christian comedian, and he made this show, this mock show called Church Hunters. It was like a House Hunters thing, but with church. And he was pointing out the flaws and sometimes how we look for churches. And so he walks into this church, and it's really big, and he said, you know, this one's just too old-fashioned for me. I felt conviction. I'm not about that. Many a truth is told in jest. You should be confident that you're hearing the Word when you are convicted. If you go to a Sunday morning service and you walk away thinking, oh man, that was great, and then you analyze it and you realize that sin was never addressed and your sin was never addressed and you never felt the slightest bit guilty about anything, the preacher may not have done his job. Conviction. Now, there can be an imbalance here. Preachers can be imbalanced in these things, and we can just constantly convict and slam the hammer down. We'd be careful not to do that. But don't react to that. Don't think that's a bad thing for you to feel on a Sunday morning. That's a normal thing when the Word is opened. And it actually proves the quality of good preaching. Calling along. This word has the idea of exhortation. We have a cause and we're working towards it together. So a preacher stands up and he says, "Let's follow Jesus. Let's do this together. He's worth it." He was spread out on a cross and shed his blood. I had a debt I could not pay. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. Let's go. Let's follow. Let's serve. Let's run the race together. And so you can be confident in true preaching when you feel pushed to follow Jesus. That's exhortation. Let's do this together. As a church, let's talk about Jesus. As a church, let's go out into Elkhart and Mishawaka and Granger and South Bend and wherever else is around us, and let's talk about Jesus. Exhortation. Pushing along in this cause to follow Christ. This idea of constancy or consistency, complete patience. Now, I want to be very careful in how I say this. But there is an idea that if Timothy, as a pastor who's preaching, needed to be encouraged to be patient, that might assume that his patience would be tested at times. Leading people is not always easy. Preaching the word to people of different strengths and weaknesses and gift sets and across the board, sometimes preachers get told really weird things. Sometimes preachers get told very critical things. Sometimes they get told very hurtful things. I know how she meant it. I know how she meant it. She meant it as a compliment. But the worst, I told this to someone recently, the worst thing anyone has ever said to me after a message, she came up and she said, "You're going to be the next Joel Osteen." My first thought was, "Ma'am, do you listen to Joel Osteen?" Sometimes we get told weird things, and sometimes we get told hurtful things. It's not easy when you do your best to pour out the truth of God, and you know you're imperfect, and you labor over how many hours you spend, and if you spend enough time, and if you really get that, and then you heard that someone roasted you on the way home after a Sunday morning. That's hard. That's not easy. We're pouring our souls out here, literally. You should be confident that your pastor is not going to get angry. He has a patience towards his people. He understands his people. This word has the idea of endurance. We go through it. He understands that as a sheep following the good shepherd, myself under shepherds will at times be bitten by the sheep. We're running out of time here, but we're not going to get to our second point, so we're going to end here on the cause. And I want to point out why more than ever today, I shouldn't say more than ever, why it is essential today that we have good preachers. Quality preachers. Look at verse 3 with me. Here's the cause that we preach the word. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. What's it say? I love Paul's illustration here. He makes it so clear. But having itching ears, they want someone who's just going to tickle their ears. They want someone who's just going to present a message that makes them feel better about themselves. It's like the Holy Spirit anticipated 21st century America. It's like he knew it was coming. I'm being sarcastic, obviously. He knew this temptation, and where we are right now is why we need preachers who will preach the word. Because they will accumulate for themselves. They will find for themselves good preachers who just say what they want to hear. Their definition of good preachers. If I've done my job as a preacher, I will have said some things that you as a listener will go, I'm not sure I want to hear that right now. I'm not sure I'm ready to forgive that person. I'm not sure I'm ready to move on. I'm not sure I'm ready to let that go. I'm not sure I'm ready to give this to God. I'm not sure I'm ready to follow. I'm not sure I trust him. That doesn't feel like what I'm going through. There will be times a preacher will say things that fall on your ears that you just don't know you're ready to hear yet. That you want to hear. And I sit under preaching too, okay? Not just on Sunday mornings. I listen to preaching all week because I love preaching. I listen to sermons. And so why do we need good preachers? Because of the abundance of bad ones. Bad according to verse 3, who just tickle ears and suit people's passions. They say what people want rather than what God himself has said. I will stand before God one day. And I will give an account for how I preach the word. I believe that there are legitimately believers, maybe some, who teach like this, who suit people's passions and tickle people's ears. Those will answer to God as well, and they might be awkward conversations. I'm going to commit to you something as one of the pastors here. I got to hear John Piper preach last year. We were at a conference, and he preached on preaching. And if you ever hear John Piper preach on preaching, oh man, it's good. This is how he ended. He said, I'm 70 now. He said, if I were young again, I'd spend my whole life preaching. I'm young. I know that. I'm going to commit to you at Grace Bible Church to spend my whole life preaching. That I'm going to do my absolute best to say what this says. Because you don't need me. And you don't need anyone who stands up here. But you do need this. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. Give us wisdom. Help us to recognize the word when it is preached. Give grace to the preachers of Grace Bible Church to say what it says. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.